Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
You're locked on The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
We're going to be joined by Jay Billis here momentarily, who's always brilliant every time he joins us. And I really want to ask him about something he tweeted about literally within the last hour. Much of the discussion around this college basketball season has centered around the two teams that clearly ran out to the front, which are Gonzaga and Baylor. But is there anybody else who's put themselves on that echelon? And Mr. Billis says there might be a team that we can discuss in that capacity. So we're going to talk to him about that when he joins us, among other things. So we'll visit with him as soon as Nick gives me the heads up. Let's see what we got here. I do want to ask him about that too. I'm not going to tease my... Well, yeah, I can tell you. I'm going to do. Going to talk about the name, image, and likeness. This is right in his wheelhouse. He knows way more about that than most people, certainly than I do. So see what he's got to say about that. And Notre Dame coming out and saying that they're, hey, great, have a good time with your game, but we're not going to participate in it. So see what he's got to say about those things. And talk a little bit about, as we've gotten closer to the NCAA tournament, if the picture's gotten a little bit clearer for him. So there you go. And he's going to be part of it. By the way, if you want to be part of a fundraiser of the V Foundation, you can. Jay Billis is going to be the featured guest in April 24th for a virtual fundraising event in support of some cancer research centers in the state of Virginia. So Jay, on our board for the V Foundation, very nice. So that's a nice thing he's going to do. So hopefully we'll do that as well. So if Nick gives me the heads up, we'll have Jay join us here in a matter of moments. And here he comes, the aforementioned Jay Billis. Jay, I got to tell you, you may not be happy about this, but they're celebrating at Louisville the anniversary of the Purvis Ellison National Championship game. So I just did the last game for Louisville in the arena when they played Notre Dame, and they're showing highlights. And all I'll say is you had a lot of hair. How about we leave it at that? You really had a lot of hair then. What the hell happened?
You know, damn it, I didn't even get my invite. I'm more responsible for that banner being hanging up in the Yum Center than Purvis Ellison was.
you certainly looked in great condition, though, I'll say that. You looked great. You looked fantastic.
That's half the battle. That's half the battle.
That's it. That's exactly right. If you look marvelous, then you feel marvelous. So there you go. Hey, I wanted to ask you about this at the start, because all year long, and I don't think without reason, we've been talking about Gonzaga and Baylor kind of running out in front, and they've kind of put themselves on a different tier. And you just said that you think there may be another team. I know the answer to this. You're a lawyer. You can appreciate this. I'm asking a question I know the answer to, but I hope you'll elaborate on it. Is there another team that's joined them up on that tier? Who do you think it might be?
I think it's Michigan, and I absolutely, Bobby, think they're up with Gonzaga and Baylor. You know, Michigan has size. They have length at the wing spot. They are really physical. It's amazing how physical they are at both ends of the floor. They've got very skilled players that can shoot it from multiple positions. And an inside guy in Hunter Dickinson, who's sort of old school in his ability to post up and protect the lane. He passes out of the post, stuff that all the things that guys our age say, it's a lost art. He's one of those guys. And I kind of thought at the beginning of the year that the point guard position was going to be the issue. And Mike Smith, who transferred in from Columbia, has been not good. He's been brilliant. He is leading the Big Ten in assists at like 5.5 a game. He doesn't make mistakes. he started off 1 of 9 from three on the season, and since then he shot 57% from three. You know, you have that kind of point guard play, and then all the weapons he has around him, they're legit.
Is there a, who's coming to the forefront as that fourth number one seed in your mind, and how big is the gap between those three and everybody else?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how big the gap is, because I'm not one of those that think that it's those three and that's the end of the story, like all of a sudden pencil them into the Final Four. Those may be the best bets as far as one of them or two of them getting there. But, you know, what has the tournament taught us over the years? That not everybody's going to win. And we're going to have teams on the two-line, the three-line win. And so I think Ohio State has shown itself to be the fourth number one. And, you know, one of their only losses recently was to Michigan in a game that could have gone either way. It was 92-87, if I remember right. And they're probably better than Michigan offensively, but they're not as good defensively, and that's the difference.
That was interesting you bring that up, because I thought when I saw Michigan early, I said, boy, they're good, but I wasn't sure, excuse me, offensively they were going to be at the level you need to be, because I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this. It wouldn't be the first time. It looks like the game has gotten so offensive-oriented. Like, if you break down, you might have been the one who told us this. I don't remember. But when you break down the components of the game, it's like offense is first, rebounding is second, and defense is third now. And I'm not sure that's not right. Do you buy into that at all? How do you look at it?
I think you have to be good defensively. Certainly, you can't. Like, I don't think Iowa is the same kind of contender because they don't guard as well. But you have to be able to score. I just don't think you're going to pitch shutouts consistently in the NCAA tournament or anywhere else to be able to win consistently, especially with three-point shots. You got to score, and Michigan can do that, Ohio State can do that, Iowa can do that, but can they stop anybody? That's the question.
Jay Billis with us from ESPN. As always, whenever you come on, we love to ask you about the local teams. Kentucky would have to run the table to get into the tournament in the SEC. They've gotten hot lately. Let me ask you a two-part question, because maybe you can roll one answer into the other. It seems like it's unlikely that they will go and win four games in a row in the SEC tournament, which they probably will have to do. I mean, there's a chance it would be five, but more likely it's going to be four. So that seems unlikely. But all the quote-unquote blue bloods, Jay, are playing way better than they did early. Duke is, and Carolina, well, till last night. Michigan State is, and Kentucky is. And I'm just curious, why do you think that is, and does that make them dangerous even in an unlikely scenario of the SEC tournament?
It makes them more dangerous. I mean, I think the I don't mean this to sound snarky, but I think the right answer is they're still going to practice every day. And it was sort of the idea of, after Jalen Johnson opted out, you know, the idea they're better off without him, you know, the reflexive coach speak that the coaches say when a player decides to split, whether it's transfer, go pro, whatever, they're better off without him. One, they're not better off without a lottery talent, but, you know, they've been going to practice every day and players have been getting better. And, you know,
Nick, did we just lose him? Okay. All right, so let's roll on. Louisville City and ESPN Louisville are proud to announce that they're partnering together as ESPN Louisville has become the official broadcast partner of Louisville City FC. Coming up this season, you'll be able to hear live play-by-play of Lou City as they go for another USL championship right here on the home of Lou City, which is ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. You've got a chance to win four tickets to the 2021 home opener. Visit loucity.com/ESPN Louisville to enter today. So you can find out more there. Go there and find out if you can win those tickets. All right. Jay comes on board with us here. We're asking him about the Blue Bloods that are getting better. Kentucky's gotten better, but they have a tough road to hoe. Duke has played themselves back into the bubble, and we're asking why is it it seems like the Blue Bloods are getting better. Michigan State delivered a pretty good convincing win over Illinois. Is it? I don't know. It just seems like they seem to have made more improvement. Is it because they've got younger players? Is there a reason for it, or is it just we pay more attention to those teams?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, there are reasons for why they weren't playing well, but I don't know when you couldn't hear me. I could hear you the whole time, but those teams have been going to practice every day, and while, like, for Duke, for example, you know, they had beaten Georgia Tech and Clemson, and all of us talking heads, myself included, were saying, hey, they're turning a corner. Like, the games that Jim Boeheim was referring to that they played so great were NC State and Wake. Well, they played equally as well, if not better, against Georgia Tech and Clemson. but then they went down to Miami, and Coach K had said they had a horrible practice the day before. He was really worried about the game, and could they pull themselves out of the spot he felt like they were in? They couldn't, and they lost. And after the game, he said publicly, we saw this coming, we just couldn't stop it. And they wound up losing to Notre Dame and to North Carolina, if I remember right. In games, they played well. They were one-possession games. They didn't play well defensively against Notre Dame, but they were one-possession games, and they lost them. Then they win a one-possession game against Virginia, and all of a sudden now all of us are saying, well, all's right with the world. You know, they're good again, and they're legit. And my thing was, they made a couple more plays, and Virginia – the game before got blown out by Florida State. Then they lose to Duke at Duke. And then they go back to John Paul Jones Arena in Charlottesville and get it handed to them by NC State. And so was it that Duke is so great, or did they certainly have been improving throughout the course of the year. But Virginia is not playing well, and they did not look good at all the last three games. And they're a good team. They're not anywhere near as good as they were in 2019 or 2018 when they're number one seeds. They're just better than they were last year. And the ACC is nowhere near as good as it's been in the past. And so I think it's a combination of those things. But so you can blame some of it. It's different with each team. Some of it's youth. Some of it's, just not playing well. I do think the pandemic factors in. There are stressors on these players that they've never had before, and nobody's ever had before, frankly, in the college game or the pro game. But that doesn't explain Michigan State and Kansas. Like, Kansas isn't as talented as they've been, but they're good. And Michigan State, I thought, was going to be really good, and they fell off the face of the earth for a month and a half. And, then they beat Illinois. They got a smaller lineup the last game. They're playing a little bit better, and there seems to be a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. The only question is it too late? I think it's too late for Kentucky, absent an automatic bid in their tournament. I just don't think you're going to be, that team's going to be rewarded for its wins, given how many losses it's piled up. I just don't see that happening.
Is Florida State the best team in the ACC?
Yes, yeah, and they're really good. But they might not be as good as some of the teams they've had in the last 5 years. I don't think they're as good as they were last year, but they're really good. And as against the ACC field, they look fantastic. But I don't think it takes a basketball genius to look at the ACC and go, this is not what we're used to. And it's not just that Duke and Carolina are not as good. They're clearly not as good. Virginia's not as good as they've been, but they're good. And the rest of the league has not really been as good as they were last year. I mean, I'm having a hard time thinking of a team, with maybe the exception of Clemson, that they're better than they were last year. Mm. I just don't see it. Like, I don't think Louisville's better than they were last year. Mm. I don't think it's close. And I think last year's team had handed to this year's team. And that's, I'm not trying to be disrespectful of the job that they're doing, but they're younger. They're not as good. And Malik Williams has been hurt. He's back now, but he's not the Malik Williams we've seen before yet. And the one thing, Bobby, that you know better than I do, and maybe better than anybody, is, the past performance of the year, all the analytics we look at, those tell us what these teams have done. They don't tell us what they're capable of doing and what they're going to do in the future if they continue to improve. So you look at Duke's numbers and say, well, they don't do this well. They haven't guarded. They don't keep people out of the paint. Last three games, they've done better. And if they continue on that trend, they've got a chance to beat a number of teams. But I don't see Duke, they're not going to play Florida State except maybe in the tournament, the ACC tournament and beyond, if they get there. But I don't look at Michigan and Ohio State and say, okay, well, I see Duke beating them. I don't. Maybe they could. Anything can happen, I guess. But in a seven-game series, I wouldn't put my money on Duke over those teams, or Gonzaga or Baylor. Could they win? Yeah, but I don't think they're as good.
Jay Billis is with us from ESPN. We apologize to you, the listener, and to Jay for our little technical snafu, but we're back up and running. I think I ask you this every time you come on, but you talk to people that I don't get to talk to. Is there anything that you can determine is a contingency for the NCAA tournament if they get to this thing and somebody comes in and tests positive? Do you have any idea what they're going to do? Would they consider forfeiting games?
Well, they would have to if it were like a widespread thing, if you had a number of Tier 1 participants, whether they be staff or players. But I think what I have been told is that if you have a player positive, it doesn't mean the rest of the team cannot play. A lot's going to be determined by the contact tracing part of it, and it's not sort of this Byzantine system of, you know, if somebody tests positive, we're going to assume that anyone within shouting distance of them for 30 seconds is going to be kicked to the curb. They're all wearing these monitoring devices that tell you exactly where they are and where they have been relative to one another. And so they're going to be able to do that. Look, Bobby, we're going to get and I don't know the right answer on all this. We're going to get this thing in, come hell or high water. And I'm not saying that anybody's going to be put at unreasonable risk. But what we've shown since the beginning of football season is we're not stopping, period. And there has been discussion, what do you do if you do have a team that gets bounced out in the days leading up to the tournament? Do you bring somebody in from the NIT field? I think they're prepared for all of those scenarios, or at least have a somewhat of a game plan for it. But the short answer is we don't know exactly how this is going to be handled. It's an issue of first impression for all of us. I think everybody's doing the best they can, and they've made some smart decisions as far as the Indianapolis bubble and all that. But you still go back. I mean, I kind of jokingly, I don't call it the NCAA tournament anymore. I'm calling it the NCAA bubble event. Because, at the beginning of the year, they said, we will never do a bubble. That's not what we're about. We are not the NBA. And then they go out and trademark battle in the bubble, and they set up a bubble. And it's kind of funny in a morbid sense, because this is a very serious issue. But at the same time, like, we have not lived up to our stated values and rhetoric and all that stuff. I mean, heck, when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were talking about, I'm not sure we can play football, I mean, they got savaged by everyone that somehow they remained in the landing craft and were afraid to run up Omaha Beach. You know, that's not what this was. And it's just kind of I hate to make fun of it, but it's kind of a bizarre position that we put ourselves in. But what's winning out is money. And that's okay. Like, my boss, who you know very well, kind of joked with me after I said this, but I said, do you think that I would be flying to all these games if I weren't being paid for it? I'm doing this for money. And the short answer is I would not be going to these games in person if I weren't being paid to do it. And, we all say, hey, I'd do this for free. None of us would right now. I'm 57 years old. You're not going to put yourself at that kind of risk to go see a basketball game. And travel as much as we travel. It's okay to do things for money and to do it in the right way, but that's not what the powers that be in college athletics have always said this was about. Even when the pandemic started, and we were knee deep in it neck deep in it, they said no students on campus, no college sports. Well, they backtracked on that right away when everybody said, "Hey, man, if we got online education, we're open for business. We're playing." And we're having some situations, whether it's Jalen Johnson right now that opted out to go pro, or what's going on at Pittsburgh, which I'm still digging into. I don't know all the details of yet. Where in the last 3 days, they've had two players that put their name in the transfer portal and walked. And Xavier Johnson and Audis Tony. And that happened, Tony happened today. And part of the equation, and I just don't know how much, but I promise you that part of the equation are the stressors on these players of being in isolation this long, the stress that they're under. It's difficult. Now, is that the whole thing? I don't know. I don't think it's the whole thing, but my guess is, and it's just an hopefully an educated guess, it might be an uneducated one, but my guess is that were this a normal year, the issues that have caused these decisions, or have led to these decisions, I should say, the outcome might have been different. And I think likely would have been different if we weren't dealing with these extraordinary circumstances.
Yeah, the Pitt thing really baffles me, Jay, because this is a free space on the bingo board, right? I mean, what's to be gained by leaving now? Just finish the year and then go wherever the hell you want. I mean, why would you do? I don't understand that at all.
Well, the flip side of it, Bobby, is the free space on the bingo board means that they're not going to have to sit out a year next year, that they can walk away from a situation that is not to their liking for whatever. And again, I don't know the reasons yet. I'll find them out, but I don't know now. But they play first game next year. wherever they decide to go.
Yeah, but they, wouldn't that be the case portal. Even if they wouldn't that be the case even if they finish this season? I mean, that's the point I'm making.
Yes, it would. It would. But and I think for our generation, we look upon that as not finishing what you start, quitting, walking out on your teammates. There's that element to it, and I look at it that way too. And if I were counseling each one of them, I would mention to them so that they could make the most informed decision for each one of them, is that this is not going to be well received. Mm. And you need to factor that in, that it may be better for you to ride this out, as painful as it may be and as difficult as it may be. It will be easier any substandard play or difficulties you have going forward will be a lot easier to explain than if you walk. Because people don't handle that well, and I get it. I'm fighting that impulse to, downgrade the decision by saying, that's quitting and all that stuff. But I'm trying my best to, and these are different things, but I'm trying my best to view inconsistent play that normally you'd go, wait a minute, like, you can't have performances like this, going, this is a different year. We should expect inconsistency. And then the other part are decisions we may legitimately quarrel with. There are added variables this year that may factor in to these decisions that players have not had to deal with in the past, or coaches have not had to deal with in the past, that are maybe contributing to the players saying, you know what, I've had enough. I'm tired of looking at the same four walls. I had a player in the Big Ten that I talked to, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. And we were just talking about the season and his team and him and all that. And I said, well, how has it been? Like, how have you guys done on the road? And he goes, are you kidding? He said, we would play all road games if they'd let us. And I said, what do you mean? He says, they let us out of the pen for a road game. He said, they let us out of our cell, and we can see something different. And we get to, on the road, we actually get to hang out with one another. And the only time we see each other now are on Zoom meetings or in practice, or at the games. But we go on a road trip and we actually get to hang out a little bit. And it's going on the road. He used the word, it's a relief to go on the road. And it's kind of like I joked about just my own personal life, and it doesn't compare. I'm not comparing it, but I had told my wife, I go, I have become the family dog. Like, I'm the dog now. That all I think about are, when do I eat next, and can I go in the car?
Oh, I'm retweeting that as your quote from the interview. That's outstanding. Jay Billis, also known as Joe Analogy, joining us here today on the V Show. I like that. He's the family dog. That's, and you know what? It's spot on, Sammy.
When you say analogy,
admit.
Bobby, when you say analogy, I had a friend of mine, I made an analogy trying to make a point in a discussion we had, and he's a longtime friend, and he said, that is not the same thing. And I said, I know it's not the same thing. If it was the same thing, I wouldn't have to make an analogy. It's an analogy to give you an example of something else to make the point clear. Yeah, if it was the exact
that's
same
what an
thing,
analogy
why would I make
is.
An analogy?
All right, a parting comment, if you will, because I thought this was interesting. You had a link to Jack Swarbrick's comics. Because I read the comments when they first came out, the opening part of that statement where he was like, hey, we're all excited about the college football coming back for EA Sports. And I was like, okay. And then he went on to say, but we're not going to take part in it. So I thought that was interesting. Like, yay, here's good news, and we're not going to be part of this thing. And then you had a link to, I didn't realize this, that's why I love following you on Twitter, Gary Williams, who I know a little bit, not the former Maryland coach, the commentator for Golf Channel, said that they're going to allow amateur golfers to get sponsorship, and yet, as you write, they're not. The NCAA is still spending money to fight its athletes and limit their economic rights, and yet the quote-unquote amateur golfers are going to be able to get money there. So where do you think we're playing out with this? It's something's got to give at some point. What will give, and how will we get to the next phase of whatever that's going to lead to?
Well, this sounds harsh, but it's going to be by force. And by that, I mean it's going to be either or both. The Supreme Court ruling in more in favor of the players and their rights, which is coming up for argument in March, and then will likely be decided by the fall. and the legislative process in Congress, the United States Congress, and all these different states that are passing laws that are favorable to athletes' economic rights. You know, the NCAA said they were going to do this. They haven't done it yet. There's a reason they haven't done it yet. It's because they just don't want to. And so they're hoping that the Supreme Court rules in their favor and they can continue on with this, you know, rolling this amateurism train down the track so that they can keep all the money and they don't have to give it to the players, or share it with the players or share opportunities with the players. You know, the golf thing is really interesting because I have been saying for quite some time now that the only amateur endeavor, the truly amateur endeavor remaining in the United States is golf. That an amateur golfer that plays in the U.S. Amateur, the U.S. Mid-Am, or something like that, the amateur golfer decides exactly when he or she will practice and exactly when he or she will play. You know, one player may decide, you know what, I got a wedding to go to. I'm not going to play in the U.S. Amateur this year. A college basketball player at Louisville is not saying, you know, I don't feel like going to Clemson to play this road game. They're going. And they have to go. They either opt out of the whole thing or they're going. And so there's no decision there. And amateur golf doesn't make any money. They don't sell amateur golf. We sell amateur basketball and amateur football. We call it amateur. It's not amateur. It's pro. And it makes $15 billion a year. So, you know, that there's a big difference there. And, look, Jack Swarbrick in his comments, the Notre Dame athletic director, was making an analogy, and I'm not beating that up because I understand what he was doing. But when you compare the athletes in college sports to Little League, then you're going, come on, man, did you really just do that? I mean, I know what you're trying to say. You're saying that Little League eligibility is, you know, what team you play on is based upon geography. It may be what little league you play in, but what team you play in is not based on geography. It's they pick. Those teams make choices. They have drafts in little leagues, and if they're coached by the players' dads and moms. And the only event they have is the Little League World Series that is sold. College sports is a heck of a lot different, and there's no reason that an athlete alone is limited while every other person, including every other student, gets full economic rights.
Buddy, it is. I can't thank you enough. I know this is a crazy busy time for you. You always make time for us, and we are always appreciative. Take care of yourself, be safe, and I look forward to our next visit, Jay. Thanks.
You too, Bobby. Thank you.
All right. Jay Billis, as good as it gets when you get a chance to talk to that guy. We appreciate it. And I am putting that quote up. I think it's hilarious how the pandemic has affected him. I've become like the family dog. All I want to know is when I get to eat again, and I get all excited when I get to go in the car. That's pretty good. I believe you. I share his feeling. Been out of the house once in the last, like, 10 days to go do the game at the arena against Notre Dame. That's been it.
If you guys were dogs, what type of dogs would you be? I think of Jay as either a greyhound or maybe like a...
No, he's too big for a greyhound. He's got to be a big athletic dog, like a shepherd.
Doberman, maybe?
Well, he's not that mean. A Doberman's kind of mean, right?
Yeah, I mean...
I think he'd be a shepherd.
Some dogs are a little more aggressive than others, but it depends on the owner, Dad. Come on now.
I don't think I'd want to be. But I would be St. Bernard. My brother had a St. Bernard. Big, he's always slobbering all over the house. He's just knocking the baby over. Just, yep, there I come. That's sadly probably what I would amount to.
I'd I'd be a husky. I'm kind of derpy.
You'd be a Saint
loud.
Bernard.
No, yeah, or St. Bernard. I could drooling all over the place. And
I should be lovable. Happy to have that keg of booze around your neck. You'd be thrilled about that.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing? All right, we'll take a break. Back with more ESPN 680 105.7.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Why are some people followed so much on Twitter and some not?
Sometimes people buy the followers.
Do they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not suggesting, like, I'm complaining or anything. I mean, I want more followers. I just, like, for example, I started when I got on Twitter just following and interacting with people that I knew. And then I did it with people I didn't really know, but obviously were related to, you know, the various jobs, broadcasting or sports. And then I just started saying, ah, screw it. I'm going to follow anybody I find interesting. And so there's a lot of people in showbiz, especially once we started, you know, being locked in our houses, when we started binge watching things, I would go and I'd say, oh, that's a good show. I like that guy. He's good. And follow him and follow she's good. I like her. Boy, I follow her. And then I look and, like, you know, some of them, I think, well, that was a really big show. They probably have a crap ton of followers. And I look and they got like 3,000 followers. And then, you know, and then I go, well, I mean, you know, all due respect, that's not very many, because then there'll be somebody else, an actor or actress on the same show, has 213,000 followers. And before anybody gets snarky, it's not because they, you know, I understand some of these Instagram models and things that if you're not as, you know, ugly as a puss wart, if you're willing to get out there and take pictures of yourself in your underwear, you can bounce up to tens of thousands of followers. That's pretty much how that works. I get that. But these are not people doing that. They're just, you know, they just have a normal, average, everyday Twitter thing. And yet they got, like, literally 20 or 30 times those of another actor on the same show. I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how it works. I got to be honest.
I don't understand the phenomenon.
I think Patty Ice, for instance, has a criminally low Twitter following.
But nobody likes him. That's. I mean, that I understand.
Yeah, but you can hate follow the guy. No, that's what I do. No, Bill, all kidding aside, seriously, like, there's certain things I don't understand. Like, magic, like, and look, we're not in the tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands like celebrities are that are verified and everything like that. But I don't understand how to, like, when you're just, like, trying to, you know, build a little following, like, how you pick up followers. Like, Patty is on there all the time posting. Oh, Patty's coming in here. He's mad. No, like, I don't get it. Like, he's actually, you know who he is. Magic, I would always get on him because he would post some interesting things, but he didn't have a profile pic. And so people didn't really know who he was. So he was a hidden gem. He had very, very few Twitter followers, but he wasn't super active and didn't, you know, really promote himself and everything like that. Patty does. If you're not following Patty Ice, go follow him right now. I'm serious. Pat_Jaggers. Did I promote it right, Patty?
No,
is that it?
Follow the counselor first, then follow Patty Ice. Because the counselor's funny. Counselor's funny as hell. But then you can go follow Patty Ice if you want.
No, but seriously, like, I don't get it. And then there's other, and I'm not really taking shots, but I guess I am. There's other, like, media outlets and stuff like that where, I mean, they have tons of followers, and I don't think that they necessarily, like, I never really get great news from them. And I mean, I'll follow them because they're often retweeting great news or something like that. But they're not really breaking anything. They're not posting really anything funny. I don't really get it.
Robert, here's my issue. And I'll be pretty blunt about this. This is why I don't tweet out, like, the things I ask on the press conferences anymore. Because I used to do that, and then I was like, you know what? I mean, consistently, if I do this, there's 1,000 other people that are doing it, and it's not really, like, the people that do it on a normal basis are already followed. So what am I doing? Like, I just feel like for social media, when it comes to that, I'm like, what's the point? Like, how can I help myself grow, you know? Like, I don't understand the whole point of doing that. You know what I mean? Like, yes. You see what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there's so many other people. Like, for example, you know, Jeff Greer, Jody Dimling. You know, I mean, I could go on for days. Shannon Russell with the Courier Journal. I mean, that's their jobs. That's not my job. I'm just on there to get content for the station.
Well, you do a fine job in there. I've yet to hear you ask a really stupid question, by the way. Congratulations for that.
You know, I appreciate that, Bob. I mean, I don't know if Chris Mack's a fan of me or not, but I'll tell you one thing. Me getting dunked on is good for the station, regardless. So
you'll take one for the team, will you? All right. Well, I'm following Patty Ice, so maybe because you publicize yourself. I think part of the problem is because we publicize everybody under their goofy names here, not their real names. So if somebody were to go look for you, they would look for Patty Ice, and you're not under Patty Ice. You're under Pat Jaggers, which is your given name. So there you go. You should probably change your Twitter handle to Patty Ice.
Like, you're so correct in that regard. I was telling Mark this the other day. So while I was out with COVID,
Sorry, I'm taking my mask off here, so that way me and Nick aren't too close to each other. Hey, look, we're doing this right here at ESPN Louisville.
But, attaboy.
But anyways, you know, you're so right on that. While I had COVID, I had somebody text in on the UPS Jobs text line and literally said this. I didn't realize Patty Ice and Pat Jaggers were the same person. Dude, it never fails. It's an expectation at this point. It happens at least, I'd say now it doesn't happen as much, but like, the first probably year of me being on the drive with Ennis and Luke and Blake and Baker, oh, my God, all the time. People call in. I'm like, I didn't realize that was the same person. I'm like, well, I don't know what you want me to tell you. I am Pat Jaggers. Patty Ice and Pat Jaggers is the same person. But that happened about 2 weeks ago, and I was like, it never fails. It'll never go away.
Yet I've never seen the two of you in this room at the same time. So there you go. That's part of the problem. Anyway, all right, let's do a conference call, shall we? Nicholas, Jamil Nutramigen here. Let me see if I have the information in front of me.
Sorry. I was getting my headset back on. And, yeah, no, Patty Ice and I were very much COVID-friendly there, even though we both had it. He came in with his mask. Mine was down because I was talking to you. Then he pulled his mask down to talk to you, and I pulled mine up. Look at that. Being Corona bros over here.
Rex Chapman is one of the true phenomenons of Twitter, though. That astounds me. He went from zero to 1.1 million, and the people who follow him are like, I think the Queen of England follows him. Every showbiz person follows him.
Well, yeah, no, he's got a following, all right.
Well, it all started with Block or Charge.
Right, and, right.
And then he's gotten funny, and he's political, so he's got a political base, and then he's got a bunch of people like the funny ones that he sends out also. So, anyway,
we need to come up with something funny. Also, no. We need to get verified, man. I really wanted to.
That helps.
Yeah, no, right. We need to get check marks. When Locke was here, he did give me. Sorry, I know that he was sort of like Uncle Locke, and the two of you guys were definitely frenemies. But I'm just kidding. You guys really weren't. But I do think like sometimes it would
ruffle
your feathers.
You're going to go on so long, we're not going to have time for conference calls.
That's the goal. That's the goal because I don't have a 2 p.m. guest. No. I do think it would sometimes ruffle your feathers when I would like something or I would take advice that he gave me. And he did give me good advice to change my Twitter handle. And I did get once I changed it from NValvey that nobody called me ever. It was a nickname that was used maybe twice. And I changed it to Nikki Vespin. I did see a slight increase in my Twitter follow. So he gave me some good advice. But secretly, I knew that he was a little smug that he was the only one at the station that was verified. And so I desperately wanted to get that check mark. So that
it's a pain
two
in
things.
The ass. I looked into doing it. You got to write something. It's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah, but it would be that pain in the ass would be worth it. For number one, when I was his producer, when he was here, we could say that we were the only verified show on the airwaves. I could join in the smugness. And also, anytime he got too, strident about that, Lachlan McLean, local radio legend, is verified, sure. But, so is Nikki V. How you doing? Thought, that'd be kind of a good way to keep him in check. But, sadly, no. I don't think I'm leading, by the way, in Twitter followers for producers. I think Brian Hall still has me beat. Worldwide was the leader for a while.
Uh-oh.
God bless it.
Spontaneous Jeopardy. Oh, we love Spontaneous Jeopardy. So we'll do the conference call at the top of the hour since you don't have a 2 o'clock guest. Oh, fantastic. Here we go. We're only 1-3. We played four times.
I have queued up the music for
once.
The damn conference call three times.
No, too bad. We're not doing it. Here we go. It is time for Spontaneous Jeopardy. We got to go through all these screens here to get our game. And here it is. We're playing in Rome today. And the game begins. And our opponents today are Heine. He's a real ass. And then Vicky. All right, here we go. Let's start the game. Round one. Questions in the first round are worth 200, 400, and 600. You have to answer five of them. Geography, the general, or taking a position?
Geography.
Geography for 400, Alex. This country's city of Kimberley is the center of a diamond mining region. Tanzania, South Africa, or Zaire? I think it's South Africa, right? South Africa is where all the diamonds come from.
Go for it. I was going to go Zaire, but go
South
for
Africa, correct. Attaboy. We're one for one. Let's go to the general for 400, Alex.
Like the insurance company?
With products like the Virginia-class nuclear sub, this company is one of the biggest defense contractors in the U.S. General Electric, General Dynamics, or General Energetics? General Dynamics, right?
I think, yeah. I think that one.
We're correct. We're 2 for 2. That's the dog getting fired up. You got to get the perfect score, you got to get 2 400 questions and 3 600 questions. So now we'd have to move into the 600s. Let's go taking a position for 600, Alex. From the Latin citra, on this side, it's nearby as opposed to yon. Hither, right? It's zither, either, or hither. It's hither, hither and yon. That's what they say. Okay, hither. Boom. Oh, 3 for 3. Got to hope we don't get screwed with the Daily Double.
Oh, that was bull. That was absolute crap.
What was?
Remember two times ago where they gave us that crap-ass question and we got screwed?
Let's go to the general for 600, Alex. Abbreviated GATT. It's governed world commerce since 1947. The Global Agreement on Trades and Tariffs, the Global Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, or the Global Administration of Tariffs and Trade?
Go with the middle one.
Global Agreement on Trade and Tariffs?
Yeah, I don't
know. How about
really
I
know.
Strike one answer from
there? Yeah, I'll do that. Then we'll do a 50-50. I have no idea.
Yours is still in there. You're wrong, though.
Yeah, there you go. 50. If you have a 50-50 chance, you're wrong 90% of the
time. Cost me 600 points, and now we're in last place. All right, let's go to geography for 600, Alex. Hiroshima is located on this island. Kyushu, Hokkaido, or Honshu? I think it's Honshu.
Yeah.
Isn't it Honshu?
I think so, too.
It is. All right. So we got 4 to 5. We're still alive. Let's go. We're in last place, but we're still in it. Boy, that's loud. Really loud. All right. Here we go. The categories are Kid Lit, This Means War, or New Geography. How about Kid Lit?
All right.
Let's go Kid Lit for 8. This Belgian cartoon boy with a dog named Snowy is an actor and
it's
amateur
Tintin.
Detective.
Tintin.
Atta boy. Well done.
Thank you.
We need a Daily Double this round to get back in the game badly, but we need that as like the last question. We got to build up as many points as possible. Let's go. This Means War. In the U.S. war, it was the Yanks versus the Confederates. The Mexican War, the Civil War, or the War of 1812? Civil War, right?
Yeah, of course.
Got it? Okay. That seemed so easy. I was afraid it was too easy.
Yeah, no, I got a little nervous on that one.
All right, we got to go for the 1200s. Let's go for Kid Lit for 1200.
This sounds
like
a rapper.
Moving from the big woods, Laura Ingalls Wilder set her little house on this area of the Old West.
A prairie.
Oh, we're on a roll. All right, we're coming back. Let's go. This Means War for 1200. We desperately need a Daily Double. The Hundred Years' War was fought from 1337 to 1453
between England and France.
And this country.
France.
Who?
France.
You are on a roll, my friend. We're 8 out of 9 so far. Last question. We got to get... The guy just got the Daily Double. We need
that
a Daily
bastard.
Double badly.
Was it Butt Guy?
It was... Yeah, it was. Heine and his brother. All right, let's go for 1200 for new geography and hope we hit the Daily Double. We did not.
Damn it.
The name of this Virginia city near where the Monitor met the Merrimack sounds like a local daily. I know this because I went to school right near there. It's Newport News.
Yeah, there you go.
Bing. All right. Well, it's time for the final Jeopardy. We've got to wager all of it to have any kind of a chance. We have 6,600. Heine has 11,000. Final Jeopardy is the Hundred Years' War. You know about this. So I'm betting the whole damn thing.
I just know who it was between.
That's all you need to. All right, here we go. So we're wagering all of our dough, 6,600, and it is the wager is in the first major battle, Francis Philip VI was something to take on the third English king of his name, Henry, James, or Edward. Gotta hurry. Running out of time.
Edward. I don't think that's right, but Edward.
No. All right, I'm gonna guess it. It was Edward.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Way to go. Oh, man. You pulled within 1,000, but not quite enough.
Damn it.
But
that stupid
very strong
tariffs
game.
Thing.
Yeah, the stupid Daily Double in that second round. We just couldn't catch him. 13-2. We finished second. Got 9 of the 10 of the 11 questions right. That's a pretty good day. And we get a 20 gold bar bonus for doing so well, but not enough to get a win. So very nice. Spontaneous Jeopardy. Thanks, everybody, for playing in your various cars all around the city. We appreciate that very much.
So what's our record now in Spontaneous Jeopardy?
One in four.
1-4-1. No.
We're 1-4-1. We had a tie. You're right.
No, one. No, I'm sorry. It's one, 3-2 because we got screwed on that one. That does not count.
Okay. All right. I'll buy that. I'm on your side. 1-3-2. We got to get
it. I don't usually go full.
5 points.
We don't usually go full Blankenbaker on the V show, but that was, yeah, that was worthy of a Blankenbaker. Blankenbaker would have had our back on that one.
I remember that. That was a screwed up question. We got it right. I don't know who their researcher was, but he bogused it up on us. So 1-3-2. So that would give us 4 points in the NHL, right?
I think so.
One for the win, two for the overtime losses.
Yeah. So what would if we were baseball, what would we be? 1-for-3 and with two walks.
We'd be 250.
Okay, yeah, but what's our on base percentage? 50?
We'd be on base three times, we'd be 3 out of 6, 500.
Right? Yeah, not bad.
Hey, why don't you head to Kroger? I don't mean right now. Well, if you do, get in the car and listen to us while you head there. But you'll want to go there because they got prices that are lower than low on food that's fresher than fresh. You'll find more ways to save on the fresh you love with personalized coupons, weekly sales, and rewards like fuel points, all for prices that are even lower than the everyday low. Kroger is fresh for everyone. You know who else is doing a cool thing? UPS. Why? Because they're going to give you money. Well, they will if you go to work for them. UPS is currently hiring, and they're running attendance bonuses of up to $300 for select shifts. That's multiple part-time employment opportunities, which are available to you with varying shifts between days and nights. A college student, take advantage of Metro College and have 100% of your undergraduate tuition paid by UPS to U of L or to JCTC if you work the night shift at Worldport. UPS provides great benefits, and in today's climate, that is a big plus, including career advancement opportunities, upward mobility and trajectory, and paid health insurance after 9 months of employment for you and your family. Administrative, non-union, entry-level opportunities are also available with benefits after just 6 weeks of employment. Visit upsjobsky.com for more information or upsjobs.com/Louisville to apply today. We promise you.
Sorry. Hey, Mr. Biscotti, have you paid him yet for winning, by the way?
No.
Okay.
I'll get back to the station in like a month.
No, I know. Well, just give me the scratch and trust me, I'll get it to him. Okay. Yeah, sorry. No, I wasn't trying to like make you feel like uncomfortable or anything like that. I literally was just thinking about it. And if I didn't ask you, I was going to forget. But no, he texted. He was wondering what that bogus question was. You know, he is kind of a trivia aficionado. I don't remember, but I think we were mad because it was one that I think had two right answers, and we were technically right.
Yes, and we were right. There's no question because we looked it up.
Yeah,
we
and so it was one of those things that, it was a little bit of nuts and bolts. We got screwed. Did they ever yell that like during your basketball games?
No, we were excited because we got indoor plumbing. We'll take a break. We'll come back.
You want to tell everybody about DraftKings?
We'll come right back here on the
show. No, do DraftKings. I'm not going to break until you do DraftKings. We'll stay here all damn day. You think I'm kidding? I'm just talking enough so people don't turn off the dial and it doesn't mess up the recording. I'm not going to break until you do the DraftKings rate. Not going anywhere, Dad. I will wait you out. All day. I'll go all day. I could do this all day, in the words of Captain America. You have the copy. I sent it to you. Do it. This will be the entire last hour unless you do the read.
Let's try it.
Not quite March, but that doesn't mean the college basketball fun has to wait. DraftKings Sportsbook, which is America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all new players the chance to cash $100. New customers can bet $1 on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week, and if your team makes it rain, you can cash $100. That's right. All it takes is for one three-pointer to be hit by your chosen team. Turn $1 into $100. Sounds like a no-brainer. This slam dunk of an offer won't be around forever, so head to the App Store now, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and get in on all the action. If basketball isn't for you, DraftKings Sportsbook has daily odds on hockey, soccer, so much more. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its customers since 2012, so they know a thing or two about big paydays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code WHBE to get your shot to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. That's promo code WHBE for new customers to get a shot at 100-1 odds on any basketball team to hit a three-point shot. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Indiana only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. Winnings paid out in four $25 free bets. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Thank you. By the way, people were loving the hamster dance. Our buddy Johnny Sales texted us. Said, oh, man. This is the first time hearing the hamster dance on 680 since the Radio Disney AM 680 days. I love it. Blast from the past.
I'm glad you amused yourself. All right, so what are we supposed to do now since you're... I'm only the host, and you basically are ignoring everything I say. So, what would you like me to do now?
No, it's just now we can take a break. I wanted to get that.
Okay,
read
there you
in.
Go. We'll go to break. ESPN 680 105.7.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.